www.newsbeat.nz.
Senior Focus. Welcome, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for the session today. And in times of hardship, we learn most about ourselves. Sometimes we can get swamped with fear stories and negative news and even catastrophizing, expanding on that fear-based thinking. And we've seen that recently when two women left their quarantine without being tested. What a performance. We had so many hysterical people. And fortunately, we had a very low-risk result from this. So it's possible to focus, though, on positive opportunities. And lockdown was a productive and creative time for many people. And I have talked about that briefly myself. I've done a lot of learning over lockdown. Some people have created gardens and made things, and some have written books. Today, I have in the studio with me Cathy Casey. Dr. Cathy Casey is a well-known Auckland councillor, hardworking, and she was working during lockdown, but she did this book project along with other members of her family. And I have in the studio with me Dr. Case Lodder, who is a palliative care physician. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
And there were two other authors involved in this book project, and one, Manu from Portugal, is involved in medicine also, and the other is Dr. Cathy Casey's daughter, Alex, who's an award-winning writer, and I'm sure this group, this team, made a great effort in producing this book. It's easy to think about sharing your skills with others if you've got a heart of gratitude. And giving from your skill base to enhance other people's well-being is a great way to keep your spirits up during lockdown. So this book is very exciting because it actually will assist a lot of people to reflect on their own lockdown, I believe. I have read some of it. I haven't read the whole of it, but I think it's a very exciting project for what its impact it's going to have. And I'm just wondering how you'd like to start off talking about the book.
Okay, well, maybe I'll start talking about how we came to start this project. It started last year when I was invited to do voluntary work in the Rohingya camp in Bangladesh, and that's where I met Manu, who was also on our working party. And the whole aim was to set up palliative care projects, which is care for the dying, for the people that are forgotten, basically, in those crisis situations. Well, we visited a few orphanages where we saw all these poor children who lost their parents. And the books that they had weren't the best books. So Manu and my idea was that we would write uplifting books, books about kindness and gratitude, etc., for the children of the Rohingya camps. Of course, we came back late last year, and then the COVID pandemic started, and therefore our focus changed into writing a book for the children affected by the COVID pandemic. And we've always had the children at heart, because in the work that we do, both Manu and me, with people dying from cancer, it's often the children and the anxiety of the children that gets forgotten. So that's how we came to start to write this story.
Wow. And Cathy, how did
I get involved?
Yes,
well, let
yes.
me tell you about Casey's first chapter. Now, Casey hasn't written before. This is the first time he's written. One Saturday morning, on the 14th of March, he was in his office for the whole morning, and all I could hear was... And I kept looking back, and I would come back, and by midday I went in and I said, "Case, what are you doing? You know, we're going to walk the dog or what?" And he said, I'm writing a story, would you like to read it? And he handed me a sheaf of papers, some 4,000 words, single-spaced, no paragraphing. And I read it, and it was the most wonderful piece of writing I've read in a long time. He was putting himself in the shoes of a small girl in lockdown. And it just read beautifully. It was just a stream of consciousness thing. Mm-hmm. And I knew I wanted to be part of it. So that was when I asked. I asked all about the case masterminded this. He dreamed up the family. And he knew that he wanted different voices for each of them insofar as he could manage. And I knew there was a cat and a dog. And I offered to do the dog. And I am so glad I did. Because as Case will tell you, Anne-Marie, we moved to Whanganui to be near Whangarei Hospital, where Case was about to work full-time to deal to the whatever was coming with the pandemic. And for everybody in New Zealand, it was a very stressful time, very anxious time. Mm. And you know, in Case, we'll tell you a bit more about that. So having the book project was just a wonderful release. It was something positive that took your mind away from the unfurling events in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. And I can understand exactly how that could work, knowing, you know, the things that I was doing in a similar vein, not writing. I'd anticipated writing, but I instead did a lot of learning on webinars on the internet. But I've made a lot of new friends, and it was a totally different kind of lockdown experience because of that. When you're an essential worker, Case, and you're a hard-working counsellor, and there was still work going on, and you were still doing Zoom meetings and so on, how did you set aside the time to work on the book?
Well, I already started the book on the 14th of March. And right. It was a wee way before lockdown, because I had regular contact with Manu and also with my doctor friends in the Netherlands. And the pandemic spread very rapidly in Europe. So I knew what was about to come, and I was involved in the whole planning of the hospital in Whangarei, and we emptied 3 wards for the avalanche of people that we were expecting. So there was an enormous amount of tension and very hard-working people, and I worked 14 hours a day, really, to try to get everything ready. Also to communicate in people with their bubbles, in their bubbles, people that are dying and then can't visit the dying patient. So I had already wrote 2 chapters, the boy and the girl, before we went into lockdown, and then I wrote the last chapter of Nana, the grandmother, in lockdown.
Mm. And what was really good was that we all wrote our own chapters and accepted gratefully constructive criticism. And that's why the sum is more than the parts. It was a collaborative, cooperative, fun exercise. And really, we didn't Skype until after the book was written. We were just communicating by text and by email, and so we wrote individually and then critiqued each other's work. And Alex was our first editor, and she probably had the hardest job doing the first edit. And then we had another editor in Hawaii, a friend of Casey's called Arnie, and Arnie did a superb job, again, melding the whole from the parts. And so there is a difference between each of the characters, but there's also threads that run through the whole book. And it was just a joy. And I did the illustrations, and again, Case masterminded everything. So we talked long and hard about how each character should be portrayed, and yeah.
But it was also wonderful how we worked together. Like, we became really close, and it was just absolutely easy. There was never any problems, never any conflict. So it was a great, brilliant project together, really. It was lovely. Mm.
Wonderful. I think a lot of people experienced greater togetherness during lockdown. But how fantastic that you've turned this into a project that will actually raise funds for people that need support in the community.
And that was the whole objective, really, that we did it to raise funds for the homeless people.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Anne-Marie, as maybe your listeners probably don't know, is while we were in lockdown, Casey's mother, who was in the Netherlands, contracted COVID-19 and died on the 21st of April. And probably Casey can say a few words about that, because that added to the already stressful situation that we were in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my mother, we already had booked to go to the Netherlands because in November would have been her 100th birthday. And then my sister contacted me mid-April that there were two cases of COVID in the rest home where she lived. And I know most of the people there, and Kathy and I visited regularly and had dinner with them. And very quickly it spread, and my mother contracted COVID. And 2 days before she died, I was able to talk with her via a headset and say my goodbyes. And altogether, 40 people, 40 out of the 145 people that were living in that place have died from COVID. So that's nearly twice as many as the whole of New Zealand.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm saddened to hear that experience. And I think that probably that's the testing point for many families in New Zealand, was when they lost a loved one and they couldn't be with them at
absolutely,
that time.
Absolutely, absolutely, exactly. And the emphasis has always been on the children that couldn't be there, but then I think of all the young people, and that's basically the whole emphasis of the book. The emphasis of the book is on the role of the grandmother and the children, and that's, for me, a very important point.
And the intergenerational theme is one that is a constant perennial on this program.
Absolutely.
Because healthy societies actually connect up the young and the old, and the learnings and the sharings and the enriching of lives through that intergenerational connection just can't be underestimated.
Exactly, and that's why Nana is the powerhouse of love and understanding in the book. And so she's the central figure in the book. And we really try to emphasize the importance of the older people, and they're often not appreciated in society, and I think that's really important to address that issue.
And the other important message for me, I grew up in Scotland in the early 60s. It was a time when children were seen and not heard. And what's really apparent is that children have a unique experience in the same way that we as adults experience COVID or any emergency. We tend to forget that children have their own experience, and it might be quite different to the way that we view something happening. And that reminded me, the book reminded me that it's really important to listen to kids and not forget them. As Kay said earlier, we tend to deal with the emergency because we're doers, but we forget there's all these onlookers who may be taking responsibility for the emergency, who may think it's their fault that this has happened. And so that was an important lesson. And also that Nana is a wonderful, beautiful woman, loved by everybody, including the pets. Including the pets. She's just wonderful. Yeah. And it was a really lovely message to put out.
And I'd like to say how lucky I am in my life, because she's actually based on my grandmother. And the love that Nana in the book has for her family is the same love that I experienced for my grandmother.
I think that it's going to be a very successful book. My feeling is that it's going to touch lots of hearts, and it will open lots of conversations, hopefully. I think it's very exciting.
Mm.
And how did you come to decide on the illustrations, Kathy?
Well, it was like everything, like the title of the book, like the way the characters in the book. It was a negotiated process. And Case definitely led that. But the illustrations, we talked, some were easy. You know, Father was always going to be a COVID mask. He was a cardiologist, so that was the symbol of lockdown for him, was his mask.
Yeah, so he's a heart specialist in the hospital. So he does the physical heart, and then grandmother does the emotional heart in the book.
And the animals were easy because the dog Lane is based on my own little dog, Susie. And so I drew Susie, and Alex has two shelter cats also. So the gorgeous the cat was based on one of her cats, Zelda. But the other characters, we really just, we worked through. I think the most difficult one was Nana. How do you, what symbol would we use for Nana? What symbol would we use for Nana that would encapsulate the type of woman, the type of person she is? And that was the hardest one, wasn't it? In fact, we had two or three goes at that.
Mm, yes, exactly, yes. And what we came up with, it's the transformation of love and understanding, that suffering is there to be transformed into something beautiful. And so Nana talks about the mud and the lotus, that without the lotus, without the mud, you can't have a lotus, and without compost, you can't grow your lotuses. So Cathy drew this beautiful lotus for the book. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Represent Nana.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling very moved just having the conversations with you about the book already. So I suspect it's going to be a very, very special book and have some very, very interesting outcomes. I think there are a lot of conversations that people are still having about what matters to them because lockdown has thrown into relief the significance of family, the significance of being connected and who you're connected to and how you can nurture that connection.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope that, and I've heard a lot of positive stories of people that really enjoyed being with their family and made life decisions of not putting their career first, but putting their family first. And I think that's what the book is about, of reevaluating what's important in our lives. Is it our careers? Is it money? Is it, you know, our mortgage? Or is it actually other values like gratitude and kindness and love and understanding and our family life?
Mm. And as a politician, we tend to think about the community as a group of people. But what's perfectly obvious through lockdown and through the work on the book is that building resilience starts with the individual. And it's the important relationships within the family that are foremost. If you can forge good relationships individually, you can build strong families, you can build strong communities, you build a strong country. And that's how we got through lockdown.
And that's also why the book, originally we thought it would be a children's book, but it's a book from 9 to 99, because my thought was if the parents can't transform their anxiety, how can you teach children to deal with their anxiety? So that's an important message in the book as well, of that what Cathy says is we have our individual responsibility, and if we become compassionate members of society, this will have an effect on our children and all the people that we touch in our lives.
Hmm. I've often said what gets played out on one level comes down on the level below. So if you want to change things for children, you have to work with the parents.
We're all interconnected. Six degrees of separation, that's all.
And in New Zealand, they say it's 2 degrees.
That's right. That's probably right. Less than six, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
I might even add that maybe that's Australasia too.
Mm, exactly.
I've connected with some cousins that I didn't know I had through the internet, through Ancestry, just in the last year. And we're planning a series of Zoom meetings. So two of them live in New Zealand and two live in Australia. So it's going to be very interesting.
It'll be a lovely, enriching experience for you. I'm really pleased for you. It's wonderful.
When I look out onto the Manukau Harbour, I can easily imagine the father of these four cousins travelling up in the boat. Of course, that bar, that Manukau bar, is one of the most dangerous in the country.
Certainly, yeah.
But he was the master of coastal vessels, but he actually drowned at sea there on that bar. Mm. So it's quite extraordinary that I've moved to live in this environment just at a time when I've started to get to know them via email. Yes. Mm. We are going to have a music break, and our music break is very timely because it fits in with the title of the book. And I thought that, Case, you'd like to talk about the music.
Yeah, I'll say something about the music and then Cassie will say something about the music. So we were trying to find a title for the book, and of course the book is about lockdown, but we wanted a title that expresses the opposite. It's not the locking it in, but opening it up. So I asked Alex to write down lots of keywords, and she had the keywords of little and boxes, and then and small and tiny, and so we came up with the title "Opening Tiny Boxes," and then we changed it into "Little Boxes." And Kathy will have something to say about that.
Yeah, in the book, the little girl puts her thoughts into little boxes, and so we thought opening little boxes was appropriate. And it was only after that I remembered the Pete Seeger song from the 60s, "Little Boxes on the Outside." And the thing was, we played it and we listened to the lyrics, and what we realised, well, this is exactly the antithesis to that. This book is not about the sameness and churning out people in universities and churning out houses that all look the same. It's exactly the opposite. That each individual is unique and deserves to be heard. Their unique individual voice deserves to be heard. And if you do that and you appreciate each other's individuality, then you can forge strong, as we said, strong, resilient communities. And so this is a no to Pete Seeger, but it's a lovely song.
Wow. So let's listen.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all went to the university, and they all got put in boxes, little boxes all the same. And there's doctors and there's lawyers and business executives, and they all get put in boxes and they all come out the same. And they all play on the golf course and drink their martini dry, and they all have pretty children, and the children go to school, and the children go to summer camp, and then to the university, and they all get put in boxes, and they all come out the same. And the boys go into business and marry and raise a family, and they all get put in boxes, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
Welcome back, everyone. And I have a burning question to ask Kathy about the role of the animals in the book, thinking that animals are like our family members, they're so important to us. So would you like to comment, Kathy?
Lovely question, Anne-Marie. Look, there are two pets in the book, and they are the pets of the children, the cat and the dog. And they serve an absolutely crucial purpose during this emergency, and that is that they provide the love and affection two ways, to the children and back from the children to the animals. And that encapsulates, for me, where your pet is in your life. They're part of the family. It's if where you go, your pet goes. And as you know, we have a small shelter dog, so it's very easy to actually write and draw the little dog in the story, because Susie plays a large part in our life.
Excellent. I can just imagine, because I know Susie. So I'm looking forward to seeing the book. And I understand it's being launched next week. So how do people get hold of a copy?
You can order it on the website of our publisher. And the website is fivedogsbooks.com. And you can pre-order it already before the launch of next week. And it's $20. And all our royalties will go to the homeless organizations.
Yeah,
and Kezzy will say a bit
yeah,
about that.
And as you know, LifeWise and the Auckland City Mission have always been dear to my heart. But, you know, it's important that we support the most vulnerable. And during the pandemic, the people without homes were the most vulnerable across the world, are the most vulnerable across the world. So it's right and proper. We didn't want to make any money from this book. We simply wanted to put a good message out there.
Yeah, the aim of the book has always been to raise funds for the most vulnerable in our society.
Well, it might be the first of many book projects by the sound of things. It could be other books that involve perhaps refugee children and their connections with animals.
We hope so.
Mm. Mm. I'm thinking also that this program depends on fundraising, and we have a film event to help with the payment of our broadcasting fees. So this is happening on the 24th of July, and at the Lido Theatre in the afternoon at 1:30, we'll be gathering, and the film is David Copperfield, which is newly on release. I know a lot of people were wanting it to come out before lockdown, and it didn't. Was held up, so this will be a good opportunity, and I would like to invite you, Kathy, to come along with some copies of the book, because I think people would like to know they could actually get them there as well. Is that possible?
Thank you, and maybe it's the 24th of July.
24th of July.
It's a Friday?
It's a Friday.
During the day?
Yes, and it's at 1:30 at the Lido Cinema.
Great stuff.
And there'll be more announcements about this, and there'll be announcements on the website and also on my Facebook page, which is Anne-Marie Khoury. So, and, you know, when I'm thinking about how you got the book together, I haven't asked, Case, how you got the publishers and who you got and how you dealt with that side of things. So I wondered if you wanted to make a comment or two.
So, briefly, when we were finished, I suddenly thought of my old friend Arnie in Hawaii, and I sent him the manuscript, and he said, great, if you want me to work on it, that's fine. And he's also been our literary agent. And then I said, why don't you also try Australasian publishers? And that's within 24 hours, our publisher agreed to publish it.
Mm-hmm. And it was really great to have a local publisher, Anne-Marie, because we're by local. It was so nice. He's from Takapuna, and they've been so generous with regard to the royalties that we can now give back to the homeless. So they've been amazing.
Wow, that's very exciting news. Very good news. So we'll have to work out a way where we can have a proper display at the theatre.
That'd be lovely. Thank you.
Thank
That'd
you.
Be absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
That's what we're about, is promoting community through the program, and promoting projects that support community and social connectivity.
Fantastic.
Mm. Wonderful. Absolutely fantastic.
So it's been delightful having you in the studio, and I'm sure that the people listening to the program will be really excited about this book and will want to get their hands on a copy. And I'm also sure that the film event's going to be, you know, very successful. We've got room for 150 people. So,
wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
And bye to the listeners, and we'll look forward to having you with us next week. Thank you. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note, Senior Focus is one word.